For weeks, a six-year-old kid kept telling his first grade teacher about the baby brother or sister that was expected at his house. One day, the mother allowed the boy to feel the movements of the unborn child. The six-year-old was obviously impressed, but made no comments. Furthermore, he stopped telling his teacher about the impending event. The teacher finally sat the boy on her lap and said, "Tommy, whatever has become of that baby brother or sister you were expecting at home?" Tommy burst into tears and confessed, "I think mommy ate it," he said. The boy had a wrong idea of motherhood. If we were to define motherhood in one word, clearly, it would be love. Love. Mothers are known for their love toward their children. A love which sacrificially gives of her own so that her loved ones may prosper. Yet we live in a day when motherhood does not command equally everywhere the respect it used to enjoy. One needs to only go back 50 years or so to find that mothers were more recognized and esteemed for their role when compared to the consensus of our day regarding the role of a mother. Our society's perception and understanding of the nature and function of motherhood has undergone such a dramatic change that the term motherhood has somewhat lost its original meaning, especially the meaning derived from the Word of God. Whereas before, we had young mothers who stayed at home, took care of their husbands and children, cooked, cleaned, did the dishes, did the laundry. Now you have many self-designated experts telling the world that mothers are not slaves in the house. They need to be free, they say. They must choose for themselves and do their own thing so that they would find fulfillment. They must chase their dreams, they say, their careers and their pleasure in order to be fulfilled. They add, if they do not have meaningful jobs and if they are not dressed up in business suits, then they may be missing much. It is unfortunate that many in the Church of Jesus Christ have believed such an ungodly philosophy and fallen prey to the world's pressure, which has attempted to redefine a mother's image. Since when motherhood, as understood by the Bible, has become slavery to those women who have husbands and children? Since when something which the Bible calls good, many have redefined it as a loss of freedom? There's nothing better for young ladies than to get married and to become mothers who with their love would care for the needs of their husbands and children. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes the following, "But as for you," he says to Pastor Titus, "speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." What is he talking about? Which part of sound doctrine is Paul talking about? Then in verse 3, he says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior," verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. That's part of sound doctrine. For older women to be reverent in their behavior and to be exemplary to younger women, so that with their example, they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, be subject to their husbands. And why so? So that the word of God may not be dishonored. You see how the Apostle Paul instructs young women to take care of their homes? The issue is not that the times we live in have changed. We are not saying that for a mother to work outside of her house is wrong. We are not saying mothers must be confined to within the four walls of their houses. What we are saying is that the profile of the married wife and mother, which the world applauds and considers successful, may not be biblically proved. God has set his standard regarding the woman he considers successful. And this woman is described in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. Let us look at that text and see the divine blueprint regarding the woman of excellence. There are seven characteristics to consider, which depict the biblically ideal woman. And yes, she is a wife and also a mother. Characteristic number one of the excellent woman, of the ideal woman. Look at verses 10 to 12. Verses 10 to 12. The ideal mother, because the ideal woman in this case, in this chapter, is also a mother, is also a wife. Hence, we're focusing on the ideal mother because of Mother's Day. The ideal mother is a trustworthy wife. The ideal mother is a trustworthy wife. Verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The Word of God is not claiming, Proverbs here is not claiming that it is impossible to find an excellent wife, the kind of woman which God approves. What it is saying is that there is a serious search involved, certainly fueled by constant and earnest, diligent prayer, before one can find such a woman for marriage. Notice the value of such a lady. Her worth is far above jewels. Her value is far above the choicest of precious stones. We trust every husband who is watching this message can heartily say this is how he truly feels about his wife. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Verse 11 says, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's verse 12. In ancient times in the Middle East, women were seen as second-class citizens. It was common for men to build deeper relationships with other men, while women were used for childbearing and for taking care of their homes. Even the husband's moments of physical intimacy were sometimes better shared with concubines rather than sharing with their wives alone. In a sense, many women acted much like servants for their husbands. That is why many men failed to trust their wives and kept from them their precious belongings. Why so? All because of the lack of trust emanating from a lack of deeper devotion to one another. Because they lacked to have a deeper relationship, a deeper devotion toward each other. That is why their trust toward one another could not grow. That was the case with many men back in those days. However, it is not so with the husband in this chapter whose heart fully trusts in his wife. He does not lock up anything since he enjoys an intimate relationship with his wife. One which is built on complete trust. He trusts his wife. He lacks no gain because his wife always does things for his sake all her life. He is confident of her faithfulness toward him. He's also sure that his wife does not spend all his money in unnecessary shopping. As we shall see later, she is a woman who knows how to plan, work, save and invest, something which brings gain and joy to her husband. She's an asset rather than a liability. The ideal woman is a trustworthy wife. That's her first characteristic from verses 10 to 12, as we glean it from verses 10 to 12. Proverbs 12, verse 4 states, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. There was a 4-year-old girl. She was cute, inquisitive, bright as a new penny. When she expressed difficulty in grasping the concept of marriage, her father decided to pull out his wedding photo album, thinking visual images would help. One page after another, he pointed out the bride arriving at the church, the entrance, the wedding ceremony, the recessional, the reception, etc. "Now, do you understand?" he asked. She said, "I think so." And then she added this, "Is that when mommy came to work for us?" In time, she would learn that mommy was not the servant of the house, but its queen. This leads us to our second characteristic. Look at verses 13 to 15. And it is there that we find the second characteristic of the ideal mother. The ideal mother is a diligent homemaker. The ideal mother is a diligent homemaker. Verse 13, "She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight." You see how the ideal mother is industrious? She shops to make thread out of wool and flax. Why does she look for wool and flax? Wool is used to make clothing to protect her family from the winter's cold, while flax or linen is used in the summer to keep her household members cool. Not only she works in weaving and sewing, she also does it in delight, suggesting that she loves and enjoys what she does as a wife and a mother. Here's a question. As the lady of your household, do you delight in serving your husband's and children's needs? Do you do everything for them out of joy and not out of grudge or out of just mere simple duty, responsibility? Verse 14 says she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Now, it does not mean that this woman likes to always shop from stores located at the northwest end of the city while she lives in the southeast corner. No, that's not what it means. The idea here is that she is likened to the diligent merchants who travel far, making a living through business as they bring their food home. She's like them in that she is a diligent woman who cares for the needs of her home by going the extra mile to secure food for her family. She is the ideal mother, a diligent homemaker. She's a diligent woman. Verse 15 says, "She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens." You see, how diligent is this house lady? As a mother, she devotes her life for her own. She does not care if she gets tired, as long as they are well rested and well fed. She's a wonderful planner who even has breakfast ready at daybreak for her family to enjoy. She gives food to her household. She rises while it's still night. She prepares all that, makes it ready for them to enjoy. She also manages the needs of her maidens who serve at her house. This lady has servants at her house. As a diligent homemaker, she makes sure all the needs of her house are met way before they wake up. Her rising up while it is still dark indicates her diligence and self-discipline, things which are commendable. The comfort of her household is her priority, and it is above hers. The ideal mother is a diligent homemaker. Third characteristic of an ideal mother. Verses 16 to 18. Verses 16 to 18. The ideal mother is a wise investor. The ideal mother is a wise investor. Verse 16 says, "She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard." This lady is very business-minded. Nothing wrong with that. She sees a field, and after proper consideration and risk evaluation, She sees it fit to invest in for the family's gain. So she goes ahead and purchases it herself. Although she lives under the leadership of her husband, yet she is autonomous and independent in the way she buys the field. This demonstrates her ability in making critical money-related decisions and her wisdom in making decent investments. Notice, it says she plants a vineyard from her earnings. From her earnings. Where did that come from? She's a Middle Eastern woman. Where did she come up with that kind of money? The answer is in verse 24, which says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. There it is. She's a lady who loves to work from home and make money. This is wise enterprise. Obviously, she has been saving, and that is why she has enough to go ahead and make a land purchase and plant a vineyard. Then verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. The ideal woman and mother is someone who girds herself with strength and makes her arm strong, meaning she is someone who loves to work. She loves to work and does so energetically and with a purposeful drive. She's not lazy by any means and is fully committed to her duties. She knows her gain is good, both for her as an achieving woman and for her household. As a wise investor, she knows her dealings in business yield good fruit for the family's benefit. Even the night hours are used by her to continue working toward building more gain for the household. The ideal mother is a wise investor. How about us? Do we use our nights properly? How do we use our nights? Do we use our time wisely? Do we keep our lamps on at night? And do we do so with good purpose? As mothers and fathers too, let us use the night hours wisely. Let us meditate and make plans for the good of our families. Let us study the Word of God and let us pray for our loved ones, especially for our children. One man shares the following testimony. He says, one night, I suddenly opened the door of my mother's room and saw her on her knees beside her chair and heard her speak my name in prayer. I quickly and quietly withdrew with a feeling of awe and reverence in my heart. Soon, I went away from home to school, then to college, then into life's sterner duties. But I never forgot that one glimpse of my mother at prayer, nor the one word, my name, which I heard her utter. Well, did I know what I had seen that day was but a glimpse of what was going on every day in that sacred closet of prayer. And that consciousness strengthened me 1,000 times in duty, in danger, and in struggle. And when death came and sealed those lips, the sorest sense of loss that I felt was the knowledge that no more would my mother be praying for me. Mothers and fathers too. Mothers and fathers, is this the kind of legacy we would like to leave in the hearts and minds of our dear children when we end our journey on earth? Would our children miss our prayers? May we stay watchful for them in prayer. There's a fourth characteristic of the ideal mother, and it is found in verses 19 to 21. Verses 19 to 21. The ideal mother is a generous provider. The ideal mother is a generous provider. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends, says verse 20, her hand to the poor. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. The ideal mother is a generous provider, both to her own household and to the needy as well. She makes cloth by spinning wool or flax on a distaff using a spindle. Since she is capable, she generously provides for the poor and the needy. Thus, she is an obedient woman to the Lord's command, one of them as found in Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 to 8, which says, if there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns, in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You may say, does it snow in Israel? Yes, it does, depending on the season and the location. In 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 20, it says, Benaiah, who had done mighty deeds, went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. A quick search on the internet will confirm this to be true. The ideal mother is not worried about the snowy season because she has generously provided her husband and children with the proper wool clothing, and the garments are scarlet in color. Apparently, wool garments colored deep red would retain more heat. Not only that, clothing them in scarlet made them look prettier. This ideal mother takes care of the needs of her family while not forgetting to exercise generosity to those who are in need as well. Characteristic number 5, verses 22 to 24. Number 5, the ideal mother is an industrious craftswoman. The ideal mother is an industrious craftswoman. Verse 22 says, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. The coverings could refer to things such as coats or to ones such as blankets, bed coverings. As for her own clothing, she makes and wears purple-colored fine linen, and not just any linen. She's an elegant woman with good taste. You see, wearing poorly is not necessarily a sign of sound spirituality. Although she cares more for her inner appearance, as we shall see this implied by verse 30, nevertheless, she knows being nice and beautiful on the outside matters too, especially for her husband who loves her so much. In verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. See the impact such a woman and mother has on people. Her own testimony has enhanced the name of her husband. What does this mean? The city gate was the place where legal and judicial affairs were dealt. That's where legal and judicial affairs were dealt with among the leading elders of a city. That's the city gates. And this lady does things and says things in a way which enhances and honors her husband's testimony and leadership rather than demeaning him. Regarding this, Pastor John MacArthur comments, I quote, the point being, he says, that this man has a great reputation among the leaders of the city. It is a reputation basically built by his wife. She is so faithful to the duties of her love to him. He is free to be every bit the man he can be, and so he develops a tremendous reputation. That reputation is undergirded by her because she's doing everything to make him everything he ought to be. She's contributing to his spiritual development. She's contributing to the clarity with which he sees the issues of life. She's granting him the wisdom that she gains from the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's word. She serves him. She cares for the things behind the scenes, so he's free to be everything that God would want him to be and everything that the community would benefit from. And so he is known as a man of great nobility and great respect because of the contributions that she has made selflessly to him. And also, you can be sure that she has done everything she can as well, verbally, to build his reputation and never do anything to tear it down. End of quote. Verse 24 says, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. As stated before, the ideal mother works from her home and does enterprise by making and selling garments and belts to tradesmen. She has a productive home-based business. This does not mean our ladies must take this as a normative command and force themselves to start working from home. No. The Bible does not say all believing ladies must work from home or that they cannot work outside. What it is saying is that working from home is a good thing for a mother who is already busy with her homemaking duties. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This shows that she is, as the ideal mother, an industrious craftswoman. If our ladies sought to work and had to choose between working from home and working outside, provided that there actually existed both opportunities, then the biblical take on this subject is that working from home is preferably to be sought. This is not just a cultural preference or that our times have changed. Working from home for our ladies has its benefits, and every family should discover what suits best for them. The ideal mother is an industrious craftswoman. A sixth characteristic of the ideal mother. The ideal mother is a discerning teacher. The ideal mother is a discerning teacher. We get this from verses 25 to 27. Verse 25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." Clothing is used here metaphorically to indicate her character as an exemplary mother, and it is one of strength and dignity. She can also smile at the future. That is, she can face it with assurance and confidence. She's a confident woman. She is an assured woman. She knows God is with her. She knows God is with her family. And she can smile at the future. She can smile at the future because she knows that her family is properly cared for and protected. Although Proverbs 27:1 cautions against boasting about tomorrow, and it is true, we should not boast about tomorrow. However, this does not mean that we should forsake to prepare for tomorrow in a wise manner. Wise planning for tomorrow is one thing, and that we ought to do, while boasting about tomorrow, as James says in chapter 4 of the book of James, is sinful. In verse 26, we read, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." A man went to the store with his 3-year-old daughter in tow. Since he was just there to grab some essentials like milk and bread, he opted to save some time by not pushing a cart around the store. "That's not what mommy does. That's not the way mommy does," his daughter informed him. The man said, "I know, dear, but daddy's way is okay too," he replied. Leaving the store in the rain and without a cart, he carried the bag of groceries, his daughter, and the milk quickly to the car. Not wanting to set anything down on the wet ground, he set the jug of milk on the top of the car, efficiently whisked open the car door with his now free hand, scooted the groceries in, and set his daughter into the car seat in one swift motion. Then he hopped in himself. "That's not the way mommy does it," his daughter informed him again. "Honey," he said, "there's more than one way to do things, and that is way is okay too." As they pulled out and headed down the street, he became aware of the scraping sound on the roof as the jug of milk slid down the length of the rooftop, bounced off the trunk of the car, and splattered the ground, splattered all the way around the car, on the ground, sending a froth of white milk in every direction. In the millisecond he took to process his mistake, his young daughter looked at him, and she said, in a most serious voice, "That's not the way mommy does it." This little girl knew the wise ways of her mother. The ideal mother is a discerning teacher whose teachings are filled with wisdom and a graciousness which reflects the word of the Lord. She's an instructor to her children. And in this case, in Proverbs 31, she's also a teacher to her servant girls as well. When she speaks, her words are kind, and her ideas reflect the wisdom gleaned from a life lived in all godliness. She's not bossy just because she's the lady of the house. Her leadership is strong yet kind. She leads with grace, and she uses her tongue to build those who live under her care. Her tongue builds rather than destroys. We need such kind of speech to permeate our homes. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. One time, a very angry woman burst into the baker's shop and said, "I sent my son in for 2 pounds of cookies this morning, but when I weighed them, there was only 1 pound. I suggest that you check," she said to the baker. "I suggest that you check your scales." The baker calmly looked at her for a moment or two, and then he replied, "Ma'am, I suggest," he said, "you weigh your son." The lady in this story may not demonstrate the principle well, but the ideal mother looks after the ways of her household. Proverbs 19:14 says, "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." As a wise, discerning lady, the ideal mother instructs her household. The fact that she looks well to the ways of her household is a good indication of her discerning ability in properly teaching them, guiding them, and warning them regarding all the harmful influences of the society. She's definitely a very industrious lady who is diametrically opposed to laziness. She's not a lazy woman. She's a diligent woman, a working woman. She's a mother who wisely instructs her children to live right and desires for them to grow in the right ways of life before the Lord. Particularly, she teaches them the ways of God, since she's a woman who fears God, as stated by verse 30. The ideal mother is a discerning teacher. There's a seventh and a last characteristic of the ideal mother, and we find this in verses 28 to 31. The ideal mother is a God-fearing woman. The ideal mother is a God-fearing woman. Verse 28, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all.'" Blessed is the mother whose children and husband recognize her worth because of who she is and what she does on their behalf in the Lord. The godly mother's children rise up to bless her while her husband praises her as he acknowledges that God has indeed been merciful to him. And in which way God had been merciful to him? In the way that he, the Lord that is, has given him the best girl possible for marriage. Christian husband, have you ever thought to yourself that your wife is God's choice, is God's gift for you, and that she's been the best choice among all the other girls? Have you ever told yourself that she has excelled all other ladies that you have known since the day you considered marrying her? Even now, many years after, do you still see your wife as God's best for you? I trust you do, because the godly woman whom God has entrusted to your care deserves all the praise and blessing, as stated by verses 28 and 29. And then this verse, a very important one, verse 30, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." I repeat this, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And then verse 31, "Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Although physical appearance is important for any young couple getting ready for marriage, yet the secret of a successful marriage should not lie in it, should not lie in the looks. Couples must seek character qualities and how to build each other in the Lord, since that remains for life, while beauty fades away over the years. The godly wife and mother who fears the Lord likes to wear fine linen and purple. That's verse 22. But she knows that the secret of her true beauty lies in her fear of the Lord. It is her relationship with the Lord, which her godly man recognizes and praises her for, along with all her other qualities and the works of her hands. It is such a wife and mother who is acknowledged and praised in the gates of the city. Normally, such kind of a reception at the city gate was reserved for men in Israel. But this woman is extraordinary. She's amazing. She is an ideal godly mother who fears the Lord. She is an ideal godly woman who fears God. Thus, she indicates of the Lord's preeminence in her life. This is precisely why she is the recipient of such an unusual recognition at the city gate. We've seen today the characteristics of an ideal mother. She is a trustworthy wife and a diligent homemaker. She is a wise investor and a generous provider. She's an industrious craftswoman and a discerning teacher. And seventh and last, above all, she is a godly wife and mother who fears the Lord. The relationship that she has with the Lord drives her, and it brings out all the goodness which she exhibits in the lives of her household and everyone else she comes in contact with. Men and children, let us today acknowledge our wives and mothers in such a way which is God-honoring, so that our dear ladies may know how much they are loved and appreciated. Let us hold them high in our thoughts, conversations, praise, and prayers. Men, let us live with our wives as Christ lives with His bride, the church. Our ladies deserve all the praise we can give by God's grace. Let us make sure we let them know again today, on Mother's Day, that we can never say thank you enough for everything they do for us. Children, do not fail to bless your mothers because they are worthy of the gratitude you show to them. Above all, let us love our wives and mothers because it is through loving them in Christ we demonstrate how much they are loved by our Heavenly Father. May God bless our wives and mothers, and may He make them examples to us all for His glory. May their legacy live to tell the story of God's goodness. We shall conclude with the following true story. When 17-year-old William Mackay left his humble Scottish home to attend college, his godly mother gave him a Bible in which she wrote his name and a verse of Scripture. College was only the beginning of the lifestyle which saddened his godly mother. At one point, he sank so low, he pawned the Bible to get money for liquor. His mother continued to pray for him. Eventually, Mackay became a doctor in a city hospital. One day, a dying patient asked for his book, referring to the Bible. After the man died, the story says, Mackay was curious to know what book could be so precious to a dying man, so he searched the hospital room. He was surprised to find the very Bible he had pawned years before. He was so overwhelmed that he took the Bible and eventually submitted to God's mercy. Mackay, the physician, later became a minister of the gospel. The book he once treated so lightly became his most precious possession. He's the author of the well-known hymn, Revive Us Again. This man left us with the godly legacy of a mother whose heart was the Lord's. May this be the legacy of our mothers and wives. And to every one of you who's watching, to every one of you who is a mother and a wife, we say, Happy Mother's Day. We wish you a happy Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, we pray. May the Lord bless your day with your loved ones. Amen.